Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
This is a different Kansas team, Scott, because think about it. They're not a dominant team. It's not, I mean, Bill Self is the master. He gets the most out of you. But this is not a, this team like won three buzzer beaters early in Big 12 play. They could have had three more losses. The one thing that they have going for them, assuming that Kevin McCullough is healthy and everybody's whole, the one thing they have going for them is Bill Self being back is a master. No disrespect to Norm Roberts or the coaching staff. Bill Self knows the tournament. He's ready to go. They'll play hard for him. But still, to repeat after you lost 75% of your scoring, two guys to the NBA, not easy. But in this season, Scott, there's no great team. There's 15 teams that could get to the Final Four. Kansas can do it. They've got the DNA. They got Bill Self. And they start their tournament in Des Moines. They're very comfortable up there.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez on this Wednesday, hump day, payday, March 15th, 2023. Thanks for joining us. Hello, how are you? All right. One more day until the actual March Madness NCAA tournament starts. The big one, all the good stuff. But at least we had some games last night in the first four. So we got that going for us. We'll have a couple of more tonight. And then we get started. And a lot of local fans don't have to wait long because Mizzou and Kansas both play early on Thursday afternoon. K-State fans have to wait until Friday night. But let's get this thing started. Let's roll. Last night, Texas A&M Corpus Christi unfortunately beat Southeast Missouri State. Was rooting for SEMO. And Texas A&M Corpus Christi, they win 75-71. So the Battle of the 16s goes to Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And then in a Battle of the 11 seeds, Pitt beats Mississippi State 60-59. So Pitt defeats Mississippi State 60-59. And so now We have those two results to fill into the bracket. Texas A&M Corpus Christi advances to take on the number one seed, Alabama, in the South region. And then Pitt will take on Iowa State, the sixth seed, in the Midwest region. So now we know Iowa State needs to get through Pitt and needs to get through the winner of Xavier and Kennesaw State if they hope to bring the entire town of Ames, Iowa, to Kansas City for the Sweet 16 at T-Mobile Center. So there we go. Now we know what's in front of Iowa State. Those were the two games last night. Now tonight, the second night of the first four. The second night of the first four, yes. Fairleigh Dickinson takes on Texas Southern, and Nevada takes on Arizona State. And so that should be a decent game, even though our man Mike DeCourcy did not believe Nevada belonged in the NCAA tournament. The winner of the Nevada and Arizona State game will advance to take on TCU in the 6-11 matchup in the West region. So we'll see how that rolls tonight as two more games, and then we're finished with the first four, and we'll get on to the NCAA tournament in its full glory starting on Thursday. That's right. And don't forget, I got some of my family registered last night. Do you want an invitation to the family bracket? I think Jarrett Sutton's going to be in it. I got the boys and the girls, and I got Mama in it. I'm in it.
If you'll have me,
yeah,
I'll have you.
Test your wits. Test your skill level against everyone.
Step right up.
That's right. Go to 810WHB.com and click on the It's Bracket Time icon, and you can get yourself set up for the 810 Bracket Challenge. You can win a new grill from Smoke and Fire. You can win gift cards to Hy-Vee, all kinds of great stuff. And there at the front, you get right at the top of the VIPs. You can look at Marco's bracket, Soren's. I'm in there. They just haven't listed me yet. I have my bracket filled out, even though I put about 45 seconds of thought into the bracket that I filled out here. But that's probably the bracket. I just go with my gut. I don't think about it too much. You know, you overthink it, and I think then that's when you start to go sideways. So I filled my bracket out quickly, so I'm good to go. I'm in. But you can create groups, private groups, public groups. You can join another group. You can get together with family or friends or your coworkers and have some fun. Or you can just go and just individually try to match up against some of the personalities here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. You can create multiple brackets. And like I said, you could win a wonderful prize, a new grill from Smoke and Fire, giving away a bunch of gift cards, a Hy-Vee, all kinds of good stuff. Just go to 810WHB.com, and we will hook you up. It is simple, all right? I went through it. I did the process last night. And so no issues here. Just trying to get my daughters and everyone. Actually, it's easier to get them signed up than it is my sons. So we're good to go. Go to 810WHB.com, click on the Bracket Challenge, you win prizes, and have some fun. Brought to you by Twin Peaks, Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC, and Olathe Kia, Smoke and Fire, and, of course, our friends at Hy-Vee. All right, the Chiefs, now moving on to football. The Chiefs made another move last night that seems very exciting. They signed a defensive lineman from the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I've already heard his name pronounced a couple of different ways. So what we're going to do is we're going to officially go to the 49ers. This is a great thing that they do here. They have a pronunciation guide where you can go and just click on the player's name, and then they have a little audio, and it tells you what the name, how you say the name. Shouldn't all teams have that?
They should.
See,
yeah,
like
no,
that.
That's
good. For dummies like me, how would you say his name just by looking at it?
Just by looking at
yeah,
it?
Yeah, what do you, the
at
Chiefs.
At first glance?
If your dad said, hey, Marco, who did the Chiefs sign last night? I didn't see it. Who was it? Who did they sign? What would you say?
I'd say, Dad, show me his name because right. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Wow. So you put it back on him, huh?
I was. Why aren't you showing me the spelling of his name? Charles Aminahu.
That
Aminahu.
Is that what you'd say? I'm curious.
That's what I would say.
Let's see.
You're asking. I give
Charles
you.
Aminahu.
See, and it's the guy's voice. They go to each player, and they were, because this is even more important, you know, because how pissed off MVS
yeah.
got that people were not pronouncing his name right.
Correct him every time. It was wrong.
He got mad when people kept saying, and he, look, hey, I like to be called Steven, not Steve, so I get it. And so he's Marquez Valdez-Scantling. He doesn't like the Marquez, right? It's not his name.
That's right, yeah.
And so they go to each player, and they have him record. And says, here, let's listen. Let's listen again.
94, Charles Aminahu.
Charles Aminahu. No debate about that, right? I like that. Play that again.
94, Charles Aminahu.
That was last time I was playing different people's names. I don't know why I get a kick out of that. You know? Send one of the interns around to all the players. Have them say their name and their number. So, Charles Aminahu. There we go. You don't have to wonder now. The Chiefs signed defensive lineman Charles Aminahu, formerly of the San Francisco 49ers, to a two-year deal worth $16 million with incentives. It could be a two-year deal for $20 million for Aminahu, who turns 26 in August. He appeared in 26 regular season games for San Francisco in a season and a half. Last year, 4.5 sacks, which was a career high. And so he is a former fifth-round pick of the Houston Texans back in 2019. And then he was traded to the San Francisco 49ers in 2021 for a 2023 sixth-round pick. He quickly became a prominent member of the Niners' defensive line rotation. He plays all over the defensive line, plays on the edge, and also plays inside. So he fits very well what the Chiefs want out of their defensive linemen, versatility, and you can line them up in multiple places. And so, you know, Spags likes that a lot. And some of the other things that were tweeted out last night, he's coming off his best season. He had 16 quarterback hits and 28 initial pressures with the 49ers. Again, right now he's only 25 years old. Sam McDowell tweeted out that he lined up with 364 snaps on the outside, 144 over the tackle, and 138 as defensive tackle last year, according to Pro Football Focus. And there was another really interesting tweet from KP Show, producer for Niners Nation at NinersNation.com, covering the 49ers. He said, edge rushers in the NFL last year who had a higher win percentage than Aminahu as a pass rusher: Myles Garrett, Nick Bosa, Micah Parsons, Za'Darius Smith, and Trey Hendrickson. Aminahu was also in the top 15 in total pressures. He turns 26 in August. He will not be an easy replacement for the San Francisco 49ers. So, there you go. A versatile pass rusher that can play all over the defensive line. He's going to be 26 years old when the season starts. And the Chiefs get him for 2 years, $16 million, which could be $20 million if he reaches his incentives. So I'll give that a double thumbs up, right? That's one of the things they needed to address to replace Frank Clark. You don't know if Carlos Dunlap is coming back, and you need to add pass rushers anyway, and especially versatile pass rushers. So they bring back Turk Wharton, who's another guy that you can line up all over the defensive line, but he's still recovering from injury. And then they signed Aminahu to a two-year deal, which most people love. And the 49ers, people that cover the 49ers, talk about how he's going to be a tough guy to replace. Also last night, Ian Rappaport reported that the Broncos are signing fullback Mike Burton. So can't wait to talk to the Sausage Anthony Sherman about that, as his replacement at fullback for the Chiefs is now signing with the Denver Broncos, where he reunites with Sean Payton, because he, before he was with the Chiefs, he was with Sean Payton in New Orleans. And so that was somewhat of a surprise. It'd be interesting, like Matt Derrick tweeted out, and a couple other people did as well, it'll be interesting to see if the Chiefs stick with the traditional fullback like Andy Reid has always had on this roster since he's been here, whether it's been Anthony Sherman or then Mike Burton, or if that's gone. And if they are removing the fullback from the equation, we'll get to hear at least 15 or 20 minutes of debate and discussion and accusations between Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman when they come back on the show.
Chiefs have had the sausage at fullback now, and then the brat and Burton.
Right.
It's only a matter of time until they...
A three-pound bologna chub.
They right. got to go get the bologna chub now.
We'll get a chorizo or something. That could happen, right?
The Mexican sausage.
Right. So there you go. Not a blockbuster signing, but I like the signing a lot. Adding to the defensive line, adding to the pass rush. Charles Omenihu signs a two-year deal with the Chiefs, formerly of the San Francisco 49ers, and most people feel like it's a really nice addition to Steve Spagnuolo's defense. We will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A little bit later on, we'll talk to Mike Boddicker in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to have Gary Lezak with your forecast. Greg Gurley will join us at 8:05 and get the latest on Kansas. They get ready to take on Howard on Thursday at around 1 o'clock. Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com will give his thoughts on what the Chiefs have done so far in free agency, who they've lost, who they've gained, and what he thinks will happen next. CJ Moore from The Athletic will be with us to talk college basketball and to preview all the games coming up on Thursday and Friday, and get all the get all his thoughts on the local schools and how they match up with their opponents in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So we got all that and more between now and 10 o'clock. Some other moves in the NFL that I thought were interesting. We mentioned there was a couple of reports out there that the Chiefs might be interested in running back David Montgomery, formerly of Iowa State and the Chicago Bears. Well, he signed with the Detroit Lions a three-year, $18 million deal, including $11 million guaranteed. And that's kind of a weird signing. Don't know what that means for DeAndre Swift. I know it means they won't be bringing back Jamal Williams, who led the league in touchdowns, but David Montgomery signs an $18 million deal to go with the Detroit Lions. And so, I don't know. Weird deal. Weird, if you're a dynasty owner of DeAndre Swift in the fantasy football, would not feel great about that. David Montgomery going to the Detroit Lions. Also, the Cowboys made a trade with the Colts. The Cowboys acquired Stephon Gilmore from the Colts for a fifth-round pick. That happened later on in the night, as reported by Adam Schefter. The New York Jets, in anticipation of them acquiring Aaron Rodgers, they agreed to a deal with wide receiver Alan Lazard from the Green Bay Packers. As sources have reported, that Aaron Rodgers has given the Jets a wish list of players for them to sign that included Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Mercedes Lewis, and Odell Beckham Jr. So, and I don't think that I would want Randall Cobb or really Mercedes Lewis if I was the Jets. But if you have to sign those guys to get Aaron Rodgers, I guess you have to. I like Alan. I kind of wanted the Chiefs to look at Alan Lazard, so I like that. I mean, that's
the friend group that's a part that's being, what is it, courted by the New York Jets right now as they try to get Aaron Rodgers. That's who you want.
Does he know they have Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, and Corey Davis? Or
he may not even care.
Is he aware? Well, I saw this. I saw a couple of people mention this, and this would be a yes. If I was another NFL team looking for a wide receiver, if I was maybe the Chiefs, I'd be making a phone call about Elijah Moore.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was part of the trade rumors this past season.
Yes,
because he was unhappy in New York.
Yes,
might still be.
And if they've already signed Lazard, if the Jets are being forced to sign Lazard, Cobb, and Odell Beckham Jr., or at least two of the three, maybe they find Elijah Moore expendable, and that's exactly the kind of guy that Brett Veach would go out and acquire, a high draft pick that hasn't totally panned out with his current team and got high upside. Flip him a draft pick and bring him to Kansas City. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't like him and the Jets are too busy signing former Packers.
Chiefs are good with trading for receivers using their mid-round picks. Did you see how much Odell Beckham Jr.?
By the way, Cobb is 32 and Lewis is 38 years old, so he's trying to inject some youth into this clubhouse, in this locker room. What was that about Odell Beckham Jr.?
Did you see how much his camp said he's wanting?
What?
Per year?
What?
15 to 20 million.
Nope. That would be the quick answer to that. No. Do we have Nate Bucati?
Yes, we do.
Good morning, Nate. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. How are you, Steven?
Doing awesome.
Yeah.
What's your location right now? Are you?
I'm in the Business Center at Hyatt Place in Denver, Colorado, which is the hotel across the street from the hotel that I'm supposed to be staying in right now.
Right. Okay.
Well. So that's where I am.
Any thoughts on what we've talked about so far with the Chiefs and their move last night and some of the other moves going on right now in the NFL?
Well, that Aaron Rodgers deal, man, I feel like it would be like totally on brand for Aaron Rodgers to give a wish list to the Jets. And then like they go out and sign all these guys and then to have like an epiphany and some kind of, you know, state of mental, I don't know, like, you know, some sort of like mental hypnosis that he goes into or something. He decides, nah, I'm not signing with the Jets anyway. I had a vision. I need to go back and sign with the Packers.
Right.
Doesn't it? I mean, it just seems like it'd be really on brand for him to make the Jets jump through all these hoops and then change his mind at the last minute. Would that surprise you?
At this point, I don't think the Packers want him back.
Right.
So maybe it's out of his hands now.
That's fair.
I think they're ready to wash their hands of by the way, Lazard, 4-year, $44 million deal, that's more than I thought he was going to get. And so, yeah, that's what it took to get Alan Lazard. I'm glad the Chiefs went in on that. I would have passed on that. And so I just wonder now. So, like, do you view Alan Lazard as a better free agent acquisition than Juju Smith-Schuster or Mecole Hardman?
No. I mean, not without, I guess, looking at his numbers off the top of my head, no. I mean, you know, we were talking about Jacoby Myers getting, he basically got a 3-year deal for $11 million a year. This is a 4-year deal for $11 million a year. Look at Lazard's numbers. With Aaron Rodgers throwing to him, he had 788 yards and 6 touchdowns. That's Juju-type numbers, isn't it?
Myers got a little bit less than I thought, and Lazard got a little bit more than I thought. But, I mean, if that's what it takes for Juju Smith-Schuster in that neighborhood, 4 for $44, what are you saying to that?
I don't know if I want to sign him to a 4-year deal. But Juju had 933 yards. He didn't have as many touchdowns.
Right.
I would rather, if maybe a 3-year deal. I'd rather. I don't want to give a 4-year. I don't think I want to give a 4-year deal to Juju Smith-Schuster. But
well, I'm sure they could structure it where they could get out of it. You know, after two or 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I guess if that's what it takes, if there's no other way to get him, I think I probably would, just because. Who else are you going to get?
Well, the neighborhood is being built right now. Where his contract's going to live, somewhere in that general area of Jacoby Myers and Alan Lazard. So it's not a big mystery. It's somewhere in that area. And so now we're starting to see exactly what it's going to take.
Yeah, 3 to 4 years and around $11 million per year.
Yeah. Are there announcements being made in the background by any chance?
Can you hear somebody talking over there?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe
probably
not.
Getting breakfast ready here.
There we
go.
Free
breakfast here at the Hyatt Place.
That's a good deal for everyone involved. We'll take a break. We've got Nate Bucati on the road. We've got Marco Marquez laughing here in studio. And you got me waiting for the NCAA tournament. Damn it, let's hurry up one more day. I've been waiting to watch Missouri play. You know what? Then I started reading. How about this? I'm going to read to you.
Oh, no.
I'm not. Yeah, it is kind of oh, no. I read, so Dave Matter, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, did a nice article where he talked to some assistant coaches that went up against Utah State this season to get like a, you know, scouting report.
Right.
And not, they wouldn't put their names on it, but anonymous scouting reports from assistant coaches that faced them. And I read this article. I'm like, Missouri has no chance. Why are they even going to show up? I'm like, good God. This is a 10 seed? It felt like the words that were being said, he could have been writing about a 1 seed. I'll read this to you. You tell me how you know. Hey, I still think Mizzou is going to win, but I was like, good God. Who are they facing after this write-up? We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am V-excite right now about this NCAA tournament. You know, why not? I know the first four is going on. Okay, but I'm sorry. I'm talking about tomorrow. There's basketball day and night. The first game tomorrow is 11:15 a.m. We get a nice dose of Huggins right off the bat. Oh, you don't like it?
I didn't know. I thought Missouri tipped off first for some reason.
No, sir. No, thank you.
Didn't know we were getting things started with Terps.
That's a good 8-9 matchup. 11:15 a.m. on CBS, Maryland and West Virginia. The 8-9 in the South region. Then at 11:40 on True TV, and looking forward to people our age and older bitching, complaining on social media that they can't find any of these channels, which, again, be honest, do you watch True TV at all? In the year leading up, in the all the time, the months, the 11 months in between the NCAA tournament, like in between March.
No, I don't watch.
Is there anything on True TV? Well, you're going to watch Furman in Virginia at 11:40 a.m. on True TV.
That sounds like there could be a show.
Yeah, that's right. Furman in Virginia. Two detectives that just won't say no on True TV. Then at 12:40, Utah State and Missouri. Then at 1 o'clock is Howard and Kansas. And then Texas A&M, Corpus Christi and Alabama at 1:45. Yeah. See, I'll be all wrapped up. I don't care that there's 1 and 16s going on because those are usually the toughest watches. The only reason if it's close, you know, usually don't expect a good game. But I'll be all locked into Missouri by the time that's over. Then you start getting to Charleston, San Diego State, Princeton, Arizona. The 3:30 game on TBS, Illinois and Arkansas, and then 5:50, Auburn and Iowa. Those are awesome. I think Oral Roberts and Duke's going to be good. That's a 6:10. That's early evening. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. And so tomorrow at 12:40, the first of the local schools to play in the NCAA tournament will be Mizzou. And so Dave Matter, who covers Mizzou for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, did an article. We had Ryan Odom on the show. That's on our podcast page at 810WHB.com, isn't it? Sure it is. The head coach at Utah State, Ryan Odom, was on the show on Monday.
Yes.
So you can listen to that if you want to. And so the Post-Dispatch talked to several assistant coaches in the Mountain West Conference who shared their candid thoughts on Utah State. Each spoke on the condition of anonymity as they discussed Utah State's strengths and weaknesses. So tell me how you feel about this. Like, if you didn't know who I was talking about, one Mountain West assistant said, they're probably one of the five most elite shooting teams in college basketball, and it's nothing like you guys have seen in the SEC. Now, obviously, they're different kind of athletes, but the shooting, I watch a lot of basketball, and nobody shoots like them. Really, really skilled, really good feel. They're a lot better defensively and rebounding and athletic than you think. You look at them, like, here's a bunch of white dudes from Utah, but they're more than what you think at first appearance. They play with great pace, really play fast. You could be up four and turn around by the next media timeout, and you could be down 12. Good God. Utah State does rank 13th nationally, and this is just now. These are no longer the comments of the assistant coach. They rank 13th nationally in adjusted offensive efficiency. They score 117.8 points per 100 possessions. That's better than two of the field's number one overall seeds, Alabama and Kansas. They entered the tournament shooting 38.5% from three. That's 11th best in the country and fifth best amongst the NCAA tournament field. Another assistant from the Mountain West shared via email, their offensive spacing is elite. They do a great job of making you guard all five guys on the floor at all times. They play extremely fast in transition. They usually have at least four players on the floor that can bring the ball up the court on a missed basket. And they talk about Steven Ashworth, their best player. He just goes and goes and goes. He's always a threat to score. Then they have Shulga, the kid from Ukraine. When you look at their year, he hit every big shot all year long. Everybody worries about Ashworth, but Shulga hits every big shot. Then Taylor Funk has deep range, beyond NBA range. He's a threat at 6'9" to shoot from anywhere. I think he's a key. When he plays well, they can play with pretty much anybody. When he struggles and people get physical with him, then they struggle. And so they asked about weaknesses. They only play seven guys, really almost like 6.5. And so they're not deep. But they said, if you think you're just going to take away the three because all they can do, they can pass really well. Big-time dudes who can catch lobs left and right. It's not like somebody playing from the big sky where they're playing below the rim. All their guards can make plays in ball screens. They'll pick you apart with pocket passes to bigs and hit them on the rolls, and those guys can finish. And now one other coach said, they're not a physical team. They're not a tough physical team. They pressure the ball hard, but they don't get overextended. The whole thing is they're going to contain the ball, drive it to the bigs, and then try to make you take bad shots. And their weak point defensively is Taylor Funk, the 6'9" guy. So defensively, they have some weaknesses. But then, and here's this was the eye opener. They won't get rattled. They play in front of 14,000 at San Diego State and 14,000 at the Pit when they play in New Mexico. And so this is what one final Mountain West coach said. I've watched Mizzou a little bit, and I know Coach Gates. He's done a phenomenal job. It's amazing what he's done. But I just think if it's the right night for Utah State, they could beat Mizzou by 20. I don't think that's going to happen, but because of the way they play, it could. If they shot the ball well, it's going to be a long night for Missouri. Now, I mean, these just coaches pumping up their own conference and team, I mean, good God. Like, when you get done reading that, like, who the hell are they playing?
Yeah, Dave Matter, I don't know who they were. I don't know who you got to speak to, but I know where their heads were at when they talked about their opponent or their conference.
Right.
Companion.
I mean Jesus. I'm sorry.
It's like you're playing the Golden State Warriors.
That's right. Like, who are they playing? Like, what's going on here? I thought this was a 10 seed. If everything goes right for them, they could beat Missouri by 20.
Sounds like the way that people talked about Penn before they played Kansas in the 16-1 matchup a few years ago. It's just
I'm not falling for it.
People were saying Penn could win by 20.
No, but people were saying that they were talking highly about their 3-point shooting and
I know, but this is a
closer matchup. What I'm saying is I'm not falling for it.
I just feel like they're pouring on a little bit thick here. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm going to watch this game and it's going to be they're just raining threes from everywhere. You can't guard them. Their spacing's elite. They got four guys on the floor that can bring the ball up. You got to get there. Everyone's hitting threes. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I want to know more about the eight teams that beat them. How do they? How are they only a 10 seed? If, I mean, that's just should Mizzou even show up? Good God! Well, I guess. I mean, hey, Vegas. Has Vegas still got them favored? Is that still the line? A point and a half?
By one, I think.
I mean, I don't
Not
know.
By 20.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm still fired up. I can't wait to watch it, but I just, you know. I wanted to, I so badly, after, you know, I didn't see it until after we had him on the show. I wanted to read this whole column to Mike DeCourcy to have him react. His head would have exploded.
I'm looking at one of their losses to San Diego State. They went 5 of 19 from 3.
Right.
This other loss, this their latest loss to San Diego State. They went 4 of 24 from 3. That's good for under 17%.
There it is. San Diego State's a quality NCAA tournament team.
I mean, this team that's the greatest three-point shooting team in the nation went 4 for 24 against San Diego State in their conference tournament.
Hey, that's what one of the assistant coaches said. They're probably one of the five most elite shooting teams in college basketball. Nothing like you've seen in the SEC.
I mean, nothing. Okay.
Let's go. We'll have to wait and see, won't we? 12:40 tomorrow. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. I'll tell you something. We got a lot of stuff to give away today to our wonderful listeners. We're going to be giving away stuff throughout the show. And we'll start right now. I want to hook somebody up with a $50 gift card to Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee is your one-stop shop for your watch party needs for the big tournament. Delicious wings and dipping sauces, party trays, cakes and cookies, all kinds of great stuff. My favorite, that buffalo chicken dip. Marco likes that crab rangoon dip. All kinds of great stuff at Hy-Vee. Why not stop by and get stocked up for all your watch party needs when watching all the college basketball in the month of March. And we can help you get hooked up right now. How about a $50 gift card to Hy-Vee for caller number 10 at 913-3810-810. 913-3810-810 gets a $50 gift card to our friends at Hy-Vee, our one-stop shop for all your watch party needs. And then a little bit later on in the show, we're going to give away some tickets to go see the NAIA, some basketball action for you. And at some point, might even give away a pair of passes to go to Planet Comic-Con. How about that? Between now and 10 o'clock, just keep listening to the Border Patrol right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll have Mike Boddicker coming up on the show. Gary Lezak will have your forecast. Greg Gurley will preview Kansas and Howard. And by the way, if you didn't get a chance to listen to Howard head basketball coach Kenny Blakeney, he was on the show yesterday at around 7:30. You can listen to that podcast on our podcast page at 810WHB.com. He was great to listen to. He was a member of the 91-92 Duke Blue Devils team that won the national championship. You remember the shot that is considered one of the greatest moments and the greatest shots in NCAA tournament history from Christian Laettner. He was on that team. He talked a little bit about that and then talked about how important it is and how important it was for Howard to get back to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1992. And so he was great on the show. If you want to hear the head basketball coach at Howard University, Kenny Blakeney, he was on the show yesterday. You can go to 810WHB.com and listen to a podcast of that. After we talk to Greg Gurley, we'll talk to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com, get his thoughts on the Chiefs' latest signing of defensive lineman Charles Omenihu, who formerly played for the San Francisco 49ers. You heard me talking about him a little bit earlier, Nate. What did you think of the Chiefs signing Charles Omenihu to a two-year, $16 million deal that could reach $20 million if he reaches his incentives?
Well, it seems like exactly the kind of person that the Chiefs need, especially with Frank Clark going and us not knowing what's going to happen with Dunlap. So And I like the versatility, the fact that he plays inside and outside the way that you described. Seems like that gives the Chiefs more options with what they want to do defensively. I did see in the article from ESPN about his issue with a potential domestic violence charge back in January, right before the NFC Championship game. It says he was also issued a restraining order after his girlfriend alleged that he pushed her to the ground in an argument. And that's a case that's been submitted to the Santa Clara County District Attorney's Office for possible charges. So I guess we have to wait and see what happens there. I don't know if he's going to end up facing any charges on that. But obviously, that's no joke. That's something that you know, should be taken seriously. But from a football standpoint, I mean, I think he seems like exactly the kind of player that the Chiefs could use. And then that right age range as well. You notice they're going out and they're signing guys that are 25, 26 years old, and they're letting guys that are closer to 30 go for the most part. And I think that's that was Andy Reid's operation in Philadelphia when they stayed good for a long time, and I think it's going to be their operation here, and I think that's the right way to move in the NFL.
And they also aren't afraid to go out and sign a veteran or two, especially when it comes to pass rushers, because if you look back over the last several years, you know, when they won the Super Bowl, they brought in Terrell Suggs as a late addition, and he had some success with the Chiefs. They've signed Melvin Ingram. They traded for Melvin Ingram right before the trade deadline last year, and he was a nice part of the defensive line while he was here. Last year, to start the season, they signed Carlos Dunlap. And so there are, you know, you go out and look, there's more than just a couple of spots to fill on the defensive line. That's really one of the more, I think, underrated aspects of the offseason, what the Chiefs are going to do to try to replenish the offensive line, because not only do you lose Frank Clark, right? You don't know if Carlos Dunlap's coming back. But also Derek Nnadi and Colin Saunders. And so you've got a lot there to replace. You've got George Karlaftis, got Chris Jones, now you've got Charles Omenihu, you brought back Turk Wharton, you've got Mike Dana, you still got on the roster Malik Herring and Josh Kando. But there's a lot there to replace between Frank Clark and Carlos Dunlap and Derek Nnadi and Colin Saunders. And they're not afraid to add a veteran. Add this guy to a wish list. You know, again, this is a guy that could be chasing a ring and a guy that can come in spots and play well. Calais Campbell, I like, who was released not too long ago, and he's not ready to hang it up. But, you know, someone like that, in addition, like you said, to someone like Omenihu, who's only 25 years old, will be 26 when the regular season starts, they're going to have to sign multiple defensive linemen. I hope they bring back Colin Saunders as well. Of all the guys that are out there, that are free agents, I hope they bring him back, because I think he still has some upside that he hasn't reached. Back after this on WHB.